This has been an ACB community call.
Today's Unmute Presents community call was hosted on Tuesday, March 26, 2024.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Unmute. I want to remind everyone here at the top, we're going to go through and take all first questions. And if we get through everyone and have enough time, we'll take second questions. So if you have tech questions, raise your hand so you can get in the lineup. Also, I wanted to remind everyone to be respectful and let everyone answer their questions in the same way and the same respect they would want to be. And there is no dumb questions. So anything you feel you want to ask, go for it. Also, I wanted to ask everyone for the question of the day. If you use a note taker, you know, either on a device or on your computer or whatever it is, whether it's an app or a piece of hardware, how do you take notes? What app do you use? How do you do it? All that good stuff. So that is the question of the day. Also, CSUN was awesome. We had a great time. So you're going to hear all about that. We're going to be having a special episode that'll drop sometime in the next couple few days. So keep your eye on the Unmute feed for that or on the Unmute website, which is unmute.show. And one other thing I wanted to remind everyone, April 3rd, the JAWS class, Introduction to JAWS, is going to be starting April 3rd. So check the Unmute website for that as well as the club. So with me, as always, I got Michael. How's it going, Michael?
It is going well, Marty. And my note taking is whatever I can find to take notes down, whether that be a voice recorder or more than likely drafts or notepad on the Windows computer. So real quick, yesterday we posted on Technically Working, which actually I guess technically just went live about 5 minutes ago because I hit the wrong button and didn't publish it to people. It was published to a private. But yesterday, Technically Working, Demasi and I sat down. Of course, we caught up on why he almost walked out of the vending program in Alabama last week again. And then we spent quite a bit of time playing in audio clips that I recorded with the Zoom H1E at CSUN and talking about some of the content that was available at CSUN. So it was a pretty fun time. That was, as I said, published yesterday. On Sunday, while we were traveling, actually, we had just gotten home, we posted Digital Bytes, a scanning tool that Marty shared with you. And then there was discussion about travel hardware, and I showed you how to use Spotlight on your iPhone to quickly find different things on your iPhone. Katie and Chris chatted about flight tips. So if it's been a while since you've gone on a flight, or if you just want some general ideas about how to make the process of traveling a little bit more smoother, give Thursday's episode of Katie Talks Travel Flight Tips a listen. And then, of course, there was the community replay that was recorded live at CSUN. And hopefully you can tell slightly better audio quality this time than last time. So that's a brief overview. Sheila, who do we have first?
Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I was wondering about Spotlight, but first, I will say it seems like, I don't know, like last Thursday when I was in that Throwback Thursday class. I got to share my what I wanted to share, but I don't know if I pushed a key accidentally on my Apple wireless keyboard, but Zoom kept saying to me, this person raised hand, audio muted, but I couldn't get to where I could raise my hand. It wouldn't let me do it.
And was that on your computer or your phone?
My phone.
Okay. So it could have been a couple of different things. I will take a guess at what probably happened is your focus got stuck in the middle of the screen for your Zoom, especially if you were just using a keyboard. So in that instance, what I would have tried, Beth, is reaching over or going to grab your phone, and touching towards the bottom of the screen. If for some reason you didn't see the mute or start video or reactions button, then double tap in the middle of the screen and that should show that toolbar, and then you should be able to raise your hand.
Oh, when it says toolbar, because I wasn't really using the keyboard. I was just had the keyboard by me because I use it more to type on Facebook and stuff. And I just had it by me, and somehow it's really sensitive. So I don't know what I even touched, but that I would do like go to toolbar.
Yep. So if you would double tapping your on the middle of your screen, and it should show the in call toolbar. Let me ask you, are you on your phone today?
Yes.
Well, everything is working perfect because you were able to raise your hand and unmute just fine. So it could have also just
Yeah.
been a glitch there. Okay.
It could have been. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Perfect, Beth. Well, thanks a
And
lot.
I'll ask later about the spotlight, because sometimes I hit a button and it will say spotlight. So
Yeah, we can talk about Spotlight in a moment too. Feel free to raise your hand again and we'll come back to you after everyone else has had a chance. Sheila, who is next?
Kenneth.
Hey, Kenneth.
Yes, hello. Hello, everyone
Hello.
here.
Hello.
So what I have is a an iPhone, and I use VoiceOver, and it's a SE third generation, and it's a fairly new one. And I'm having difficulty now with the dictation on the phone. All right. Now I've used it dictation for many years and everything worked fine. But here lately, it's not working. And it doesn't work in quite a few applications. So it's not the applications. That includes the
Question for you.
email.
Are you using Siri to dictate, or are you using like the microphone on the keyboard to dictate?
I'm using the I'm hitting the on the keyboard and I'm hitting dictate.
Okay.
And so what it used to do, all right, is in dictation, it says tap one finger twice to start it, tap two fingers twice to stop it, and then the content's there and it reads the content that it says, all right. Now it won't do that. All right.
What do you
What it
mean it
does is
won't
after,
start or stop or?
well, I don't know. I guess it's not stopping, but it doesn't capture what I say. After I hit a double twice, you go down to the keyboard to like hit search, and nothing on the keyboard works. But then if you say something, this is remember, this is after you've taken two fingers and double tap twice, it will capture whatever you say then. So what I found is it doesn't work in all the different applications. Some of them are the Apple applications, and some are other things like I have Bookshare and YouTube and the general internet search. So now when I hit dictate, after it gives the instructions, I just say it without tapping either way, and it captures it, and then it works fine. So I called Apple Accessibility, and anyway, right away, what they said, oh well, you need to update your iOS. So he went and checked and says, oh, you have updated. Well, you need to turn the phone off, turn it back on. No, I've done that. And he went through a list of whole things, and including the argument, well, because he picked on Bookshare and YouTube, he says those are not our applications. You'll have to check. I said no, because in email and contacts and reminders, same problem. So he finally concluded, okay, I have to do something. So then he went to accessibility, and we went down about six levels, and he tapped around and found something. Says, well, turn this on. So we turned that on. He says, turn your phone off, and it'll work. So he hangs up. So I do that. I restart the phone. It doesn't work. So my question is, why is it not working, and why is it working the way I just explained? That you just hit dictate and say right away without hitting it, without tapping once or twice on it.
So, I think I want to try a couple of experimenting on my end, because I think I know what might be going on, and it disappoints me that Apple didn't think about this. So I'm going to try this with you, Jonathan. I recommend, let's see. Let's go. Give me 1 second. No, that does not work. So I thought what maybe you had was what's called direct touch typing enabled, and that might have made it automatically respond when you just tapped on the dictate button without double tapping on it. In this instance, the only other thing I can think of that it sounds like Apple hasn't tried with you is to go into your settings, go to general, go to erase and reset, and then choose reset network options.
Okay.
Yep. Reset network options. That will make you have to re-sign into your Wi-Fi. So make sure you know your Wi-Fi password if you're using Wi-Fi.
I got that down in my brain. Yes.
Okay, so that's what I have done when I have some weird, I guess the best way to describe them is glitches like this. The other thing that you could also try, and I'm not sure if this works for you, when your keyboard is showing and you have that dictate button in the bottom right-hand corner, are you able to just two-finger double tap, speak, and then two-finger double tap again? Does that work for you?
No, I've tried that. That doesn't work. Nope.
Interesting.
It's the same thing. In other words, you take two fingers, double tap, say it, double tap with two fingers.
Yeah.
And no, it doesn't capture it. And then it does the same thing. If you say anything after you've double tapped with two fingers, it will capture that. And that's what it thinks the content
is. So also, let me throw a couple of things in here. First thing is, unfortunately, when it comes to both dictation as well as Siri, they don't really give us any control over being able to do much with it. If it's not working how it should work, then sometimes you have issues. Now, there was a microphone kind of an issue. And what was happening, this was a Siri as well as what was happening with dictation, is that in the beginning when you start, it doesn't actually start picking up your audio for a split second. So it'll miss the beginning of what you say, and that will either make it miss the beginning of what you say and not actually dictate it, or it'll think you didn't say anything and it will stop. And it does that sometimes at the end also. So you have to be a little bit more, start it, wait a second. But when you start it, you have to click the dictating button on the keyboard. But to stop it, you have to do a two-finger double tap, because they implemented a feature where you can turn on dictating. And once dictating is turned on, you can also use the keyboard while dictating is on. But the unfortunate part about that is VoiceOver does not work when you're doing that. So when you used to dictate, you used to get the audio lines, you know, and the only way to stop it was to do a two-finger double tap. But now it doesn't show that. Now what happens is you start dictation and the keyboard is still showing. And if you're sighted, you can utilize the keyboard if you want to do an emoji or, you know, do some special editing or something like that without turning dictation off. But the bad part about that is it doesn't work with VoiceOver. So you don't know what the keyboard is doing. So the only way to stop it is to do a two-finger double tap.
So, I don't have any sight, so I'm not able, you know, I have to, you know, kind of go by my memory where the keys are on there, because I can't see them.
Right. The other issue that they have, which is unfortunately kind of an annoying bug, is that in certain applications, let's say, for example, you want to send somebody a text message and you go to open up the text messages and you go to the search box and you say Michael Babcock, right? And then it's going to stop after you dictated that. It doesn't keep going. It will just automatically stop on its own. Where when you're actually dictating in the body of a message, then it does not stop on its own. You could talk, it'll dictate. And then if you stop, it'll stop and pause and wait for you to start talking again to dictate. So it's very inconsistent where you are. You have to know where it's going to stop automatically and where it's going to pause and wait for you. So you have to kind of know and understand that with it as well. So it is kind of wonky right now, but unfortunately, there isn't any way to fix it.
Yeah, well, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, why don't the technicians tell you something? Because they leave you hanging by not saying anything. Like, you
because
know,
half the time they probably don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and of course they won't say that either. So
right, exactly. They don't want to make themselves look bad. So yeah. They just kind
well,
of
I guess give I can them understand
something
that.
And just let then hang up and then they're out, you know.
All right. Well, let me try what you're Michael, right?
No, I'm Marty. Michael.
Okay, so
person.
Michael told me to use general and erase. So I'll try that and see if that might do anything or not. So thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck. And I was going to say one other thing. You know, you could also try voice control when you dictate. You'd set it up, but that might be a little bit better for dictation. Voice control actually is really good for dictating. You just have to turn it on and set it up, but you can turn it on and off as you need it. But that might be a good option for dictating if you dictate a lot.
Voice control, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Voice control. All right. Okay, well, let me see if I can check that. All right, again, thank you so much then.
All right, good luck.
Mm-mm, thank you.
Pam.
Okay, I just wanted to answer the question of the day because thank goodness I don't use dictation. I type. But the question of the day, I'm kind of old school, low tech. I use notes on my iPhone as a note taker.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's what I use.
Notes came a long way. That's pretty good these days.
Yes, it is. But that's what I use. I don't have a standalone note taker.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Pam. We appreciate it.
I just use notes. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah.
Jane.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Jane.
Hello. So glad everyone just made it safely home. Because I just checked, said everybody who was out of town know where the address was to that kind of smallish airport.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of business cards, and now I gotta figure out where all the QR codes are. Because these days, a lot of people use QR codes. And I know the iPhone has a QR code reader, but, well, where is the QR code and how do I point it so I can read the information?
What you have to do is open up your control center. And I believe it's going to be one of those squares all the way down at the bottom. And if it's not there, then what you do is go into settings, go to control center, and you can add it to control center if it's not already in your control center. And then once you have it added through the settings, then you can go back to control center, and then you can go to the bottom, whichever square it happens to be in that bottom area of control center. You invoke that, and then you point it at the card that you're trying to get the data off of, and there you go.
Okay, so there's no so here card is this little.
It says barcode scanner when you find it in there.
Okay, so, but my thing is there's no audible tone that says, oh, here's your, QR code, and then I guess you would, okay. Well,
Something you could also try, Jane, is Envision now has in the Envision app an accessible QR code scanner. I have not personally used this, But that might give you more of the audible feedback you're looking for a QR code scanner, because you're right. Knowing that there's a QR code on a business card does absolutely no good if you don't know where the QR code is. That's why with our AT guys business cards, we have the letters QR to the left of the actual QR code. But that's not the case with a lot of them. So I might also download the Envision app and try their accessible QR code scanner feature as well.
Yeah, I will do that now.
Perfect. Good luck.
Belle, who do we have in Clubhouse?
Tony, our DJ.
Hi there.
Hi, guys. It's DJ.
Hey, DJ. And, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. So on that, first was the question of the day. I use a Braille Note Touch. I don't particularly care for it that tough, although I'll get around to, I'll make myself around it to use it and whatnot. I just have to maybe familiarize myself more with it, but I will use it. As far as the dictation feature on my iPhone, what I find a lot of times when I use dictation, sometimes when I double tap, say my message, then double tap to complete it, it may not say anything right away. So what I'll do is I'll take one finger, swipe it over to the right, then swipe it to the left, and boop, there it is. The message is right there.
Yeah, that's sometimes, good.
Yeah. Now, sometimes it will pop up right away. Sometimes it will take a moment to pop up. I think it has to do with the length of the message as well. So, he may want to try that. But that's what I do generally when I am dictating. Most times I'll either use the phone keyboard or I'll use my pluggy duggy in the mix. And that seems to work for me very well. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, story, DJ. I appreciate it.
Sticking to it. Woo woo. In the mix. Thanks a bunch.
Yep. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Anybody else, Belle? I guess not. Lori.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Lori.
So to answer the question of the day, I went from low tech to sort of medium tech. I used in my partially sighted days, legally blind days, I used to use a legal notepad or like a small version of that and to write things down. But once that started going away, I used to use a flip phone notepad, the notes feature on that phone, and I would type the notes. But now that I have an iPhone, I dictate my notes, but I also use my Victor Reader Stream, which today is not working, so I can't use it for that. But what I can also do is on my home voicemail, I can leave messages on that by dialing *99. And recording the message or note that I want to do. And then that helps me to remember. And then if I want to send the note to somebody, then I just have to make sure that their number is compatible with my service, and then I can send them that note, whatever it is. So, but my tech question is, I'm trying to edit my call log. There's one person's number I'm trying to get rid of and block. And I know how to block it now because I found the block feature. But there's her number appears so many times. So after I press edit or double tap on edit, and I go to her number, which is number on the top, and once I double tap on her number, I want to highlight or like mark for deletion each time her number appears. And then I want to delete all that stuff in one fell swoop. So I think it was covered on a previous program I listened to on Zoom, but I don't remember all the steps. So can you help me out?
Are you just trying to clear out your recent call list? Is that the end goal?
Yeah, but only one person's number. The rest of it I'll delete individually. But this person's number comes up so many times, in multiple times during the day, that I just want to delete her entries, all of them. And I want to, in one previous class, on another program on Zoom, I was told to double tap on edit, go to those entries, double tap on that, go to where it says delete on the on-screen keyboard. Well, that's all right for one entry, but there's multiple entries. So how do I delete? Once I double tap on the number I want to delete or select it, how do I delete all of her phone number entries? This is one person, not the whole log.
Yep, I don't think you can. I think you're going to have to delete each one independently. If someone else has a different suggestion, then they can raise their hand. But I believe you're going to have to go through and just delete each one.
There's other ways to do what you're talking about in other areas of the phone, but not in the recent call list. But something that you can do to make it faster for you when you have the recent calls list open, then you can do a single finger flick up on the number you want to delete, and there you'll hear the delete. So you flick up and then you'll hear delete, and you do a single finger double tap and it will delete it.
Okay,
so that might be a lot faster and less steps for you,
because the way I'm doing it now is I want to edit this is only one person's number, not anybody else's. I can delete it individually, no problem. I don't even have to go to edit for that. But this person has so many entries in my log, it's not even funny, in the recent calls list.
I think the fastest way for you is
going to
be
to wipe her out.
Yeah, the fastest way to do that would be to open up the recents list and put your finger on the number you want to delete, flick up until you hear a delete, and then do a single finger double tap, and that will delete it.
Okay, but won't that delete all the entries I've highlighted by double tapping on edit, or just that one entry?
Just that one entry.
Okay. Just the one entry. Wow.
Right.
Because she's got so many times that she's called me, going from the top all the way to the bottom. It's going to take me all month to do that. You know, and it's just everybody else's entries are easier to delete. But this one person who I ended a relationship with yesterday, I just want to erase her altogether from the log.
I mean, you could always just go through and delete all of her numbers, and then you could block that person, and then you would never see their number show up again on your phone.
Right. Now that I know how to block and how to do as report as junk, now I can do that, you know, when I get a junk call. So, but as far as doing the flick up, and I'm on an SE2020, so I don't know if it'll allow me to flick up like that. But
it should, yeah. If you go to the top right corner, there's an edit button, and that might give you more options to do multiple deletings, but I don't think it'll let you select them one at a time. It might just delete the whole entire recents list. So I don't know if you want to do that. That's not really what you're looking
for. Not the whole list, just her number.
Yeah.
And this is somebody that I ended a relationship with yesterday. So I want to just all remnants of her in that log. Everybody else's number can stay. If I delete the whole log, then, you know, it'll be like, oh man, I didn't want to delete so-and-so, because there are numbers that are my favorite numbers and I don't want them to leave.
Yeah, unfortunately, the best and fastest way would be to do that. Put your finger on that number, flick up till you hear delete, and then do a single finger double tap. And if you don't want it on the phone anymore, or you're not talking to that person, once you get all her stuff out of there, then just block that number so that they can't continue to call you, and the number won't show up on your phone. And that's probably going to be the best way. So unfortunately, that's your option.
Thanks, Marty. I appreciate it.
No problem. All right, Sheila.
All right. Gregory.
Hey, Gregory. How are you?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Regards with a question, I use anything available. Like I'm lying in bed at night and I wake up and want to do a note. I have my Olympus there, or my computer. If I want a note, I have an old Victor Reader Stream, or I open up Word and make notes. Or if I'm on my treadmill, I have an Alexa speaker there and I set a reminder, and then I go back to that reminder and access that. So I use everything I get my hands on. Regarding the dictation, that's a recent bug with the updates. I found that out. And the only way I do it is I go to the keyboard and swipe over to the dictation. You just swipe over to it, dictation button, and then you can use your tap and double tap. It works that way for me. You don't double tap on that dictation button. You just swipe to it. Like I said, in it is a bug.
Yeah.
Last couple updates. And real quick, with the deleting a entry,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if she's got multiple entries she wants to do, but I flicked up on the number and go to more info. And then you can go, it takes you into that contact, and then you swipe down to block it. And I'm not sure whether I'll block it, all the numbers.
You can block it, and from that point forward, the person won't be able to get through to you on that phone or that phone number, but all of the entries that are already existing in the recents list would still be there, and you would still have to go through and delete those.
So,
just because you block the number doesn't mean that it removes what's the data that's already on the phone from that person, unless you intentionally go do it.
So there's no way to delete that whole call log, huh? That's weird.
No, unfortunately. You can do that in other places, you know, emails and messages and other things, yeah. But can't do it in the recents phone list.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Umberto.
Hey, Umberto, how you doing?
Doing well. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, perfect. So I have a two-pronged question or whatever. First, I want to answer the question of the day. I use a high-tech solution on my iPhone, iPad, or I use my Braille display. Like I have a Braille, you know, Braille NLS e-reader by Zumax. I also own a Matis Q40, and I take notes on either one of those. And many times I also use Braille screen input on my phone to input notes on like drafts or any other app like Notes or OneNote or whatever notes app I have. And my second question is, I don't know if today's all about iOS or...
Nope, it's whatever question you want to ask. You can ask any tech question you want to ask.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I have a question about Linux OS. So, you know, like any sighted person, you know, I want to get away from the corporate tech world of Windows and Mac and Android and iOS. And I'm wondering if there are any accessible solutions or resources for using Linux OS accessibly, and if there are any tutorials or YouTubes or demonstration videos or anything like that that can point me in the direction of switching from like Windows to Linux OS for like open source and all that. So it would be deeply appreciated. Thank you so much.
So when it comes to Linux, there's a lot of different desktop interfaces, you know, GUI interfaces, which is all the buttons and stuff like that you see that you can navigate with a screen reader or anything like that. And they do make one that has a screen reader and that's set up for people who are visually impaired or blind.
Ooh,
I don't remember what it's called. Do you remember, Michael?
So Ubuntu has Orca built in, which is a screen reader on Linux. There is a website that if you stick around, I'll find it and share with you, that it's for blind Linux users.
Okay.
I don't have as much experience with Linux myself, but I will say that if you do a quick search for blind Linux users, you'll find an article that says 5 Linux distros or distributions for blind or visually impaired individual users. There's also a Reddit post that is the state of Linux for blind users. So, then the last thing, and I know this is a lot of information, but I'm getting these from a quick Google search as well for blind Linux users. There is a distro at
And just to
Looks
jump
like
in
it's
here, in case you don't know what a distro is, that's basically the
a
GUI
distribution, right?
interface, the environment.
Yeah.
So that's what you're looking for when they're talking about distro. That's just
Yeah.
all of the GUI interface and buttons and
Yeah.
things on the screen. That's what the distro is.
Yeah, I know this. Thank you.
You could go to leb.limoechobravo.net/blinux, B for blind, LINUX. And that might be a good resource for you as well. If you need
Ooh.
any of
Thank
these
you.
links, feel free to drop us an email to feedback@unmute.show and I can get them back over to you. Or again, the Google search that I did was blind Linux users and was able to find those resources on the first page.
Okay.
And once you have it installed and you learn how to use it with a screen reader and all that stuff, the cool thing about Ubuntu is it has a built-in like store type of thing, and you could go in there and type out what you're looking for. So if you're someone that does Office a lot, you can install OpenOffice or Libre from
Yeah.
there and use that, and hopefully it's accessible. I don't know if it'll work with a screen reader on there, but you can try it. And they have
Okay.
all kinds of apps in there, and they make it easy for you to download without having to actually go into the terminal and have to install applications that way. So Ubuntu is
Okay.
kind of cool in that aspect.
Okay.
So good luck with that. Hopefully you can get it to work out for you.
Thanks.
Yep, no problem.
Okay, Sir Koo.
Hey, Sarku.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Fine. So I just wanted to answer the question of the day. I kind of use what's at hand, depending on what I take notes of. I very seldom dictate because I like to type, and for typing on my phone, I use mBraille. That's what I'm using, and put them in the notes. But if I go, for example, to a class or do my lectures, so I use as a note taker and reading my notes. I have a handy Dactylino 16 cell. That's very handy and small, nice to carry with you. So, yeah. And sometimes I even use Olympus DM50. So that's my answer. That's
Great.
all I
Well,
have to
thank you very
share.
much.
Thank
Awesome.
you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
for the
Have a great
great
day.
call. You too.
Yeah.
Stacy.
Hey, Stacy, how are you?
I'm fine, and I'm considering a wide variety of options. I haven't used because I haven't liked the iPhone very well, but I'm considering I have an o have old well, I'm wondering, first of all, are people still using the Focus 40?
I have not
For
heard
new,
that in a very long time.
any new iPhone use.
So I know a couple of users that use the Focus 40. Are people still using the Focus 40? It's too generalized of a statement for me to accurately answer, but I can tell you that I do know people that use it.
They're still using it. Well, I wondered if it would work with the iPhone
Yes.
17 and up.
Yeah, iOS 17 it will work with, yes.
Okay. That was my question because one of the reasons I wanted to know, well, was because I'm thinking about whether to restore my batteries in it. I haven't used it for years because I don't like basic iPhone u iOS use. And secondly, well, I was thinking about standby, just in case I ever wanted to go back to it, but I don't think I want to do it right now because I have a Blind Shell Classic 2 and I'm happy with that. But I'm also thinking about basically computers. I was thinking about buying an L Braille and, for Windows and things like that. And or I was thinking about getting, regular Windows, but since I was thinking about getting laptop and things like that, and I really wanted something that would be well versatile, that I could just use for basically Windows, and but I wanted a attach I wanted something that was didn't have to be attached to it, you know. And so, but I do have that, you know, Braille display over there. And I was thinking, you know, gee, if I, you know, I bet an L Braille would cost a lot more. And
if you're looking for a laptop, is that something you're looking for? Is getting a new computer?
Yeah.
I would look into if you're looking to get a Windows machine, I would look at Computers for the Blind. You know, you could customize the computers. You get JAWS on there free for 1 year. They also have JAWS training if that's something you're into. So, you know, they have some good options. You can get Windows 11. You can get the choice of what size hard drive you want to put in there and how much RAM you want to put in there. So,
can I get a real up-to-date version of that?
They're pretty up to date. If you ask for Windows 11, you're going to get a pretty updated machine. Now you can get it with an SSD hard drive in it. And if you want to upgrade that, the starting is 256, but you can go to 512 or 1 terabyte for, you know, they have a couple of extra fee jumps and you can bump it up to 16 gigs of RAM. So, I mean, that's going to be pretty current to what you buy in the store.
That's what I was worried about. If it went to them, I was worried that it wouldn't be up to date, or I couldn't get it up to date.
You can get it pretty up to date. You're getting, if you ask for Windows 11, then you're going to get a pretty up to date machine because the specs on Windows 11 are at a certain, you know, they need a certain spec in order to be able to put Windows 11 on a machine. So you're going to get a pretty up to date computer. It's not going to be brand new, but you're going to save a lot of money and you're also going to get JAWS free for a year. So, I mean, it has a lot of good options about it. And the other thing is you're going to get it and open it up and you're going to be ready to go. You won't have to really do much of anything. You just start using it. So it's worth a phone call to talk to them and see how they can help you out. You'll save a lot of money. They've got grants and it ends up being much better and a lot more cost effective than trying to buy a new one.
Well, I was worried about the power on it and the fact that if I was to get it, you know, how long would it last? And number one, and I knew I would save a lot of money, but I was concerned about the upgrading of it.
Oh, we lost her.
No, I don't think so. Hello?
Yeah, and we got you back.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was just my phone. My phone said the stuff on it when it was, I guess when it says something, it doesn't it blocks you guys out. I guess. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm working good luck, and hopefully you can figure it all out and decide. But I would give them a call and at least talk to them. It's worth a phone call. It doesn't cost you anything.
Okay, the blind computer users, is that what it's called?
Computers for the blind.
It's called blind computer.
Computers for the blind.
Computers for the blind is the exact name.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck.
We'll look them up.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Scott.
Hey, Scott.
All right. To answer a few questions, first of all, the question of the day, I mainly use either the Notes app on my iPhone or, Notepad on a computer, one of my computers. I've got two of them, two Windows machines, or I use the Mantis. That's probably what I use mostly because I have a Mantis Braille display that has its own editor.
Awesome.
I use that quite a bit. On the Linux side of things, I'm sure more and more people are going to hear about this. It's the new product, you know, if anyone remembers Blazy Engineering, they've now emerged as Blazy Technologies, and they've come out with their Linux-based pocket computer called the BT Speak, which
I did hear about this. I think someone did something about that recently.
Yeah, no, that is, if you wanted the pro version, which gives you full access to Linux with Orca, that would be, it's $1,195. But if you're, I imagine if he's wanting a cheaper solutions. He'd go by one of what your suggestions you made, Michael, and Michael made, and go with that. Or, you know, or if he wants it on a, like a separate device, there's the Raspberry Pi, which is what the BT Speak is built on, which allows you to use Linux on it. So just some. And then one final thing, you know, the gentleman who was having problems with dictation, I haven't really noticed any problems myself, but when you get into the edit field and it says text field is editing, you know, of course make sure you're there and make sure that the keyboard is on the screen, you know, kind of look down towards the bottom and see if you start feeling, you start noticing like characters or letters and the like. That's, you know, that it's active. And what I'm usually able to do a two-finger double tap at that point and hear the little ding that tells me it's being dictation is happening, and then, or that it's ready. It's ready for me to speak. And then I speak, and then two-finger double tap stops it. You get another ding that stops it. And so you may or may not hear voiceover say anything. You know, it may, yeah. Sometimes it's, that's a little inconsistency there. It may say inserted, then whatever you just said, or it may not say anything. That can vary. If he keeps having problems, if he's having problems it's a matter of getting to into a consistent pattern and kind of maybe slowing down a little bit too sometimes, because
yeah, it picks up, and sometimes it doesn't pick up the beginning and the end, kind of a thing.
Right.
So it's just, yeah, I agree. It's kind of getting into a pattern, figuring out what works, what and where, and all that.
Because this, you know, ever since, you know, I've known, you know, the touchscreen technology can be a bit tricky and glitchy at times. And even I've been an iPhone user for about 12 years now, and. Even for me, sometimes, you know, that I'll think I'm double tapping on something, or I might try double tapping and I end up single tapping something else.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. So it's like you never know what might happen, but it is just one of those things you kind of have to work with. Maybe more people who tell Apple about these things, the more they'll realize, hey, we got some glitches here we need to iron out.
Definitely, I agree with you.
Future little updates.
Yep.
All right. That's
thanks, Scott. Good. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Sure.
Restoria.
Hey, Restoria.
Hello.
How are you?
Quick. I'm doing good. Do either one of you use Access?
As in the transportation service?
No, in Windows.
Oh. I do not. Michael?
Okay. So I've used, if you could elaborate on your question, I don't know of a tool in Windows specifically just called Access. So what are you looking to do?
Oh, it's not. Oh, I thought one of them was Access.
Universal Access is where Microsoft keeps their accessibility tools. What is it that you're looking to do?
No. Okay. This is a data spreadsheet.
Oh, Microsoft Access. I am so sorry. Yes, I have used that, but it's been about 15 years.
Okay. But I wanted to convert an Excel spreadsheet to Access. But my question really is there a search button in Excel?
In Excel, there is a search button. I don't remember the keystroke. I want to say it is F3, but I could be wrong on that. In Excel and other Microsoft products, you can type Alt-Q for Quebec, and that will let you search the menus. And in that instance, once you type Alt-Q, you can type search, and that'll bring up, if you use your down arrow keys, a list of different search abilities inside of Excel. So the keystroke is Alt-Q, or you can try, I think F3 will let you search as well.
Thank you.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
All right. 434, ending in 186. You may unmute. Tell us who you are, please.
Yeah, my name is Paige, and I just have a question about the computers for the blind, and does it come with a screen reader with it along with the JAWS, and is it Linux or Windows?
So it's going to be Windows, and you can ask for either 10 or 11. And JAWS comes on the computer, which is your screen reader. You do have to pay for JAWS. I believe it's $100 a year. But when you buy a computer from Computers for the Blind, you get JAWS installed and you get 1 year for free. And they also offer a JAWS training program if that's something that you need. So I would suggest just calling them and they'll give you all the details. They're really great customer service. You call and they actually answer the phone. You talk to a real person. It's pretty cool.
Okay. If I can't afford the computer for the blind, how am I going to go about purchasing it through Computers for the Blind? Any grants or stuff like that?
Yeah, they do have discounts and grants and stuff like that. You just need to talk to them and find out how you could apply for those or how all that would work. That's something you would have to ask them. They have different programs all the time. You just got to contact them and they can give you all those details.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Juliana.
Hey, Juliana.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Good. Well, I was going through, swiping through apps on my iPhone, and I heard, and this has not happened since the update, but what is Standby? And also I want to ask about Freeform. I don't know what that is. I didn't ask for these apps. They just are there. And I'm sort of going through and getting rid of apps that I don't care about. So
Freeform is an app made by Apple. It's a newer app that's just come out in the past year or so. And basically what it is it looks like, you know, like a chalkboard or a whiteboard, you know, that would be hanging up on a wall and someone would stand up there and write a bunch of things out on it, you know, and for the class or whatever. That's basically what Freeform is. You can either draw a picture on it or you can type on it, or it's just kind of like an open workspace that you can kind of do whatever you want with. So, and then you can work with other people with it and collaborate and things like that. It's not really great for people who are visually impaired or blind, but it actually does work with VoiceOver though.
Oh, okay. And Standby, what in the world? You know, I've seen that and I'm going, what is that?
I'm not even, what Michael, do you that? Know? I don't even use Standby, so I'm not sure. Do you know, Michael?
So I believe, is it standby or is it nightstand mode?
This said standby, but I haven't seen it since I updated to 17, the latest, whatever it is, 17 point whatever.
Yeah, I'm not certain exactly what that is. What I would say is...
You muted.
Yep, sorry. What I would say is... standby mode on an iPhone.
I know it's not a standby mode on a watch, but I don't know about it's not on the phone.
Yeah, I'll do some looking into that for you and let you know if I can find some information out, because I'm not familiar with that specific feature.
Okay, and for the question of the day, I use my Victor Reader Stream and then copy the notes to the whatever folder I want. To like appointments or whatever on my computer. And so that's the way I do it.
When your battery gets all the way low down to 20% or below, you get an error that pops up. It's not really an error, but it says, do you want to put your phone in? Is that called standby mode, Michael? I forget if that's what they call
it. Nope. So I just did some quick searching. So standby mode is used if you want to view your phone from a distance. You can customize what information is displayed on the phone itself. Useful for if you want to set your phone down on a counter or something and then be able to see it across the house. So for me, it does absolutely no good. It is more for a visual aesthetics on your phone and the information that's displayed there.
I don't know what I did to make it come up, but like I said, it has not. I haven't seen it since the update. So,
well, good. So,
or hopefully, it doesn't bother or something.
You can remove the other app that you and Marty were talking about as well if you don't. Good. Preform, yep, if you don't need it.
Yay. Thank you.
Thanks, Juliana. Who do we got next there? And I see we've got about 5 minutes left.
Yep, that's what I was just going to tell you. 5 minutes, and you got five hands. So,
one hand a minute. Let's go.
Lynn Moore.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So I take notes on a usually if I have something or want to write down real quick, I put it on a computer, but unfortunately I'm very disorganized about it and I'll drop it in whatever file I'm in. And it's very terrible because then I can't ever find it later. So I need to figure out a different way to do that. I raised my hand because standby mode is very horrible.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It is. It has a bunch of like widgets and they just kind of circulate around. It seems to be more active at night. I don't really understand that. But you can turn it off and it absolutely should be if you can't see because it's just awful.
Beautiful. All right, well, thanks for that. And we appreciate it.
Okay. I will go so other people can talk. Thanks.
Awesome. Right, have a nice
thanks
day.
A lot.
All right. These are, we have no more new hands. So Gregory.
Hey, Gregory.
Can you hear me?
Yes, mm-hmm. We can.
I just purchased an Arcanite USB fingerprint reader and I initiated Windows Hello. Have you guys used Windows Hello?
Yes, I have.
I'm trying to figure out if I can connect it, use it with my 1Password password manager. Do you know if that's capable or possible?
So you can use Windows Hello to unlock 1Password. You need to go into the settings, and I believe it's under authentication in the settings of 1Password to use it. And then if your Arcanite fingerprint reader is working with Windows Hello, then you should be able to unlock 1Password with your fingerprint.
Yeah, it's working so far. So.
Yep. So that is doable.
Thank you.
No worries, Gregory. Thanks for your question.
Humberto.
Button. So yeah, for I have number one
story of drop down input search participants more option invite mute me view button meeting and sign mute audio set start my videos open more option share screen summary
go yeah, ahead with your question
on this computer left parental plus reactions closed yeah. Open app white bombers notes button leave all space then, leave meeting button
but number one is for the person who is asking about the search function in Excel. If you do an Alt E for edit and then F for find, I know that they're very old commands, like for like pre-ribbon office commands, but they still work.
Beautiful.
All right. Thank you very much.
Alt E then F and is you get that. And then for the guy, Scott Edwards, that was talking about the BT Speak, does that device come with Braille, like Braille support or Braille display?
Thanks. No. It is Braille input only. It does not have a Braille display attached to it.
Ooh.
So it has a Braille keyboard, but no Braille display.
Okay, thanks.
No yep. worries. Thanks
for
your question.
We've got about a minute, so we got to hurry.
Beth?
Yeah, I have a question. I have on my computer that Windows Media Player, when I try to select what I want to play, I need to remove like sometimes in with my music, it says Microsoft Office Word, and it makes it hard to select my music. That so how can I remove those, like make them into another folder?
Tell you what, Beth, bring that question next week because I'm not certain I'm understanding and we're coming up on the top of the hour and we'll try to help you. And that'll be your first question next week. Okay.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
No worries. Thanks a lot to Sheila and Bell for hosting and streaming/connecting. We really appreciate each and every one of you for coming in. Marty, go ahead and wrap it up in the last 20 seconds.
Yeah, thanks everyone, and we appreciate it. If you want to get a hold of us or you have any questions, you can reach out at feedback@unmute.show if you want to ask anything, and if you want to check out our website, it's unmute.show. And everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next time.